March 12, 2020. It's the Watt from Pedro Show.
Thank you.
Pedro Show. It is raining in SoCal. Thursday, ain't with Brother Matt. I'm in my own pad, but I'm not man low because of the wonders of those engineers in Estonia with their Skype software. I got Craig Bell with me. Welcome aboard, Craig.
Hi, how you doing? It's
I'm
great
glad
to be
to
here.
Have you aboard, fellow bass brother.
Yes, sir.
We started the show off with John Coltrane doing impressions live November 1961. And then out of my head, Craig Bell. Craig, what's your earliest musical recollection?
Wow. Listening to the radio, top 40 stuff, things like that.
What time?
I think I might have heard like early Elvis stuff. I'm talking 57, 58, around in there. I was, you know, glued to the radio when I was a kid. I would listen whenever I could.
What town, Craig?
That would have been Buffalo, New York.
Okay. The big
I was born downstate in Elmira, and my first memories are from Buffalo.
So it's listening to the radio. Now, like car radio or home radio?
Car radio, home radio. Yeah, always had a radio. As long as I can remember, I've always had a radio in my bedroom or something.
Can I ask you the sitch at home? Were your parents, brothers, sisters, whatever, listeners or music makers? And
Man, I don't remember anybody else being as into it as I was. But moving on, my middle sister, I'm the second of four. I've got an older brother and two younger sisters. My sister Susan just played some flute parts on this new recording I made, which you played the song off of.
Okay. But growing up, there was no instruments in the house.
No, nothing in the house, but we all, going through our schooling, learned an instrument.
I was going to ask you about that. At school, were you in the choir or the marching band or shit like that?
I was in the choir in junior high school. I wasn't in the band or the marching band. I never really got proficient on any instrument. Played a little bit of trombone, a little bit of clarinet, but didn't go anywhere.
Let me ask you about your listening. I mean, can you remember what was the first record you bought yourself?
Oh, yes, I can. It was Itsy Bitsy Teeny Weeny Yellow Polka Dot Bikini. I bought at a Kresge store in Buffalo.
45
RPM.
What was the first gig you went and saw, Craig?
First show I remember is probably something at Cleveland Public Hall. They had a AM station in Cleveland called Wixie 1260, and they would have a fan appreciation day. And I think one of the first times I went to see a musical group, a pro group, not like a high school band, high school dance or church dance or something, but I saw Bob Seger. This is like 67, 68. I saw Bob Seger, I saw the Birds, and I saw the Beach Boys.
Now, you're saying Cleveland. So when did you move from
Buffalo?
This
was in Cleveland.
Yeah, when did you move from Buffalo to Cleveland?
Well, I moved from Buffalo to Denville, New Jersey in 1959, and then in 1961, when I was in the third grade, we moved to Cleveland, and that's where I stayed all through my school years.
Okay. What about the trip where you play in the garage or the bedroom or basement band? Did you do any of that stuff?
I did not do that. I was not allowed to have a guitar. Guitars were not real musical instruments in my family. So no guitars for me while I was living at home. What I did do was I hung out with my friends who did have bands, and I hung out with them. I was the guy that was willing to move the gear for you and willing to help you set stuff up and just let me hang around with you guys, okay? That kind of thing.
Okay. Did you take music classes except for you were in the choir, right?
I took choir classes. I took some music lessons with the instruments, yes. I had some basic music training.
Okay. Well, how'd you get on the bass?
The bass guitar, I ran into my friend Jim Crook at a Velvet Underground show in the spring of 1971. When I got out of high school in 1970, I wanted to get into a band. So by the spring of 71, ran into my buddy Jim Crook, who introduced me to his good buddy, Jamie Klimek, and they were trying to start a band. We found out we all dug the same kind of stuff, and within a couple of weeks, they said, well, we need a bass player. You're the bass player. Here's a bass guitar. Here's how you tune it. Figure out the rest for yourself. So I just took it from there.
But you got it given to you. That's pretty heavy.
Yeah, I got one until I could get my own, which is this one that's right over here that I still have, a 66 Mosrite.
Wow, and what did they give you? I'm curious.
Jamie, I think the first thing he gave me was a Hagstrom 8-string bass with 4 strings
on
it.
Wow, yeah, I remember. I think Jimmy played that on one of his records, a Hagstrom 8-string.
Yes, yes, that bass was around for a long time. There was a Les Paul bass, heavy, son of a gun.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, yeah, a white one. I don't remember whose it was, but I played that for a little bit. But then right after that, I bought the Mosrite. I've been playing that ever since.
I think those were called Triumphs.
The Gibson?
Yeah.
That's possible. I mean, it was heavy.
Yeah.
It was really heavy bass.
Les Paul himself designed that thing. Okay, yeah. What about amp?
Man, first amp. I remember, let's see, I was using, there was a Ampeg Panaflex. The old flip tops,
sure.
15-incher, had one of those. First amp I bought, I had a Custom 100, Sparkle Blue Tuck and Roll, top and bottom.
Oh, yeah.
2 15s in it. Cream. It was beautiful.
Creams played.
It was, oh, man, well, those are great amps.
I think the Ampeg you're talking about was called a Portaflex B15.
Yes, Portaflex B15, that's it.
I had one of those that came to Kay.
Nice amps.
Here's what I want to ask you, Craig.
Yeah.
You guys got a trio, right? What'd you guys name it?
You mean Mirrors?
Oh, is this talking about the band? Oh, for Mirrors.
Talking about first band, or what? Yeah. I'm sorry, I'm confused.
Yeah, this is the first time you're on bass and shit, right?
First time, we were a four-piece. My friend Mike Weldon, who... I played in bands with, he was in some of those bands that I would hang out with.
Okay.
Him and I were high school buds. He was on drums, so it was Jim and Jamie on guitar, me on bass, and Mike on drums.
Okay, and it's Mirrors.
Mirrors, yes.
And what was the first Mirrors gig like?
First Mirrors gig was, oh wow, it was at this coffee shop at the YMCA in the town we lived in of Lakewood, suburb of Cleveland. And there was, like, nobody there, you know, the typical first gig, nobody's there. The guy who brought us in there felt so sorry for us that shortly thereafter, he hired us to play at his bowling team's party at his house. So we went and did that one. Some people say it was the same night. I don't remember it being the same night, but I know it was shortly thereafter. And we were downstairs and we're playing Velvet Underground covers. And there's all these, what I considered at the time, I was, you know, 19, 20 years old. I consider old people. They might have been like, you know, 30. And they're dancing to I'm Waiting for My Man or something. And I'm like, wow, this is great. So yeah, our first gig was a bummer, but the offshoot of it, the next one was really cool.
Now the material was mainly covers. Did you do any original stuff?
Oh yes, right from the get go, Jamie and Jim had had originals, and we were doing early versions of stuff like Shirley, and I'm not exactly sure what the other ones. I think we're on our way home and going to Wyoming and stuff like that. But, yeah, we did a lot of Velvet's covers. We did some Trog's covers. We did some early Pink Floyd stuff when we could, you know, if we could figure it out. And, yeah.
Craig,
yeah, we did
gave me this song here. It's called I Like Ives. And
yes.
Yeah, but how do you pronounce the band name?
X-blank-X.
Of course. X-blank-X. I've never known how to say that. I want to play it right now, Craig.
We'll be right back. negative 20. two, I think that's what I mean. All right,
Watt for Pedro show. I like Ives with X blank X. Or, you know what? I've been given permission, people, to call it whatever I want. But I'm going to go with the X blank X.
Yeah, that's something. That's one of the newer recordings we've just we finished up an album here over the winter called "The Monster That Ate Cleveland," and we're shopping it around right now, and that's one of the tracks off it.
Now, people, he's talking about something just recent, but the band actually goes back to 1979.
Band goes back to 79 when John knew he was leaving Cleveland after the Eels and everything, and he was heading to New York. And he met Andrew at a party, and he said, "Why don't we do a band for the summer?" And they said, "Okay." So they got together some of the locals there. I think Anton Fear and Jim Ellis, and they Johnny Dromet put out a couple of singles. I don't know if they came out at the time or they came out after John left and went to New York. Then the band just was dormant until I think 2014. John put out a album of old recordings, and he got some dates to tour in the summer of 2014. So him and Andrew got together, but the other guys didn't want to do it, and he ended up calling me. And first drummer we had with us was oh my gosh, this guy named Matt that John knew from upstate New York. So we did some shows up around Detroit and Cleveland and places like that, and things went really well, and one thing led to another, and here we are, 6 years down the road, and we're still at it. We're supposed to play next week at Nowhere Fest in Columbus, Ohio.
Probably get scissored.
I don't know.
A lot of these
waiting to find out.
Anyway, let's tell people what else I played. I played Sarah Oswald and Felder Melder with Folding Deltas. Guitare with Mami Tapanapia. Now I know this is Bob Pollard out of Dayton. You're the Hard Hitter.
Mm-hmm.
Lauren out of New York with Forecast. Schizo Fuel out of Amarillo with the Big D.
Wow. Looking
forward to seeing Brother Skids. And Fantasy Spiders, they're out of the city, San Francisco. I dove in the ocean. And finally, 6-2, Rocket from the Tombs. Now, how much from the Mirrors does it take to get to the Rocket from the Tombs days?
Not long, man.
Okay,
tell
me about it.
I joined Mirrors in 71, right, as Jim had just come home from his tour of duty with the Army, and he had come home, and we started up the band. About a year later, I got drafted.
Yeah.
So I was gone until the winter of January of 1974. I got out of the Army, and in the interim, Jim Jones joined up with Mirrors and played. And when I came back, I rejoined the band, and I was with them in probably the November of 74. Peter Lochner approached me and asked me if I was interested in getting together with him and David and a couple of what he said at the time, a couple of kids I met, and we're going to put this hard rocking band together. And I was thinking that you'd be good for it if you want to do it.
Who were the kids? Was it Cheetah?
Cheetah and Johnny, yeah.
Oh, and Johnny, okay.
Yeah. Cheetah and Johnny Blitz, yeah.
Right,
Peter knew everybody.
Yeah,
you know,
right,
so he always had somebody in his back pocket that, you know, maybe somewhere down the line, man, we can get something together. So, yeah, so by the end of 74, I was rehearsing with Rocket while I was still in Mirrors. And then when Rocket's first gig came up at the end of that year in December, since Mirrors was also on the bill, Jamie didn't want me playing with Rocket that night. He said, "I want you just to play with Mirrors." So I said, "Okay." So Rocket played without a bass player, and I played in Mirrors that night. And a couple of weeks later, Rocket played again, and I played with them, and that pretty much was my first time on stage with them.
Tell me about the first gig that you did with them. Not the first gig where you didn't get to play with them, but tell me about the first gig you did get to play with them. I'm curious.
First game we did to play with them was late January or maybe it was early February, but it was at the Agora in Cleveland, and we were opening for Iron Butterfly.
You know what?
And it was
Minuteman,
awesome.
Minuteman and Black Flag. The Agora had downstairs something called the Pop Shop or something?
Yes. It was called The Mistake. At that time, it was called The Mistake. But, yes, later on, it was called The Pop Shop.
Yeah, early 80s. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Okay. And then the Agora ends up burning down, right, mysteriously?
I think that location burned down. That was after I split town in 76 and moved to Connecticut.
Okay.
And that happened afterwards. Yeah, I think they moved from there. They moved up to the big building they're in now.
Yeah. So what was that gig like at the Agora, opening for Iron Butterfly?
That was just, it was, you know, all of a sudden I was going from playing, I'm playing with Mirrors, and we were getting whatever gigs we'd get somewhere here and there. We'd be in a, like, we were at Clockwork Orange playing on Tuesday nights to maybe, you know, five off-duty cops and three of our friends and things like that. And I go from there to going out on the Agora stage, and the place is packed. And it's just, you know, and the amps are big and the noise is big. And, man, I'm standing there. I'm just going, yeah.
Yeah.
This is exactly how it's supposed to happen. And it was a blast, man. It was after I remember on that gig that people were just going crazy. They just didn't know what to make of us. And the one thing I remember more than anything else is that David would wear a choir gown back in the day, and he had a huge mop of hair. And he's sweating, and he just, like, at one point just flings his head, and I'm standing behind him. And I just get this wall.
The water.
David Thomas sweat all over me, and I'm just like, yeah, this is it.
Look, we're at the end of the first hour of the March 12, 2020 version, edition of Lock Pedo Show. Special guest, Craig Bell. Hold tight for hour two. March 12, 2020, right. It's the second hour of the Lock Pedo Show.
Jupiter, Venus, Mars, Mercury, the Moon, the Sun. Exciting. Emotion. Exciting. Emotion. Exciting. Emotion. 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 Emotion.
start off the second hour with Slow Down from Mirrors. Lucy Leave after that, Permission to Protest. Bilge Pump with The Lustral Mug. You can tell these bands are from England. Paper Mice, Angry Meal. Stoma, they're Dutch dudes, Rotterdam. Excite and Emotion. 21 Vec, they're Macedonia, Skopje. Vec means century, right? 21st century. With Dvacha. Yeah. Dvajka. Oh, my fucking. And then finally, Bridgeport Bad Boys. That sounded a little Connecticut.
That band never had a name, and there's a story behind that.
Give it to us.
Well, I moved after Rocks for the Tombs broke up in 75. I hung around Cleveland for about a year, and finally just hooked up with a job out on the East Coast, so I moved out to New Haven, Connecticut. Once I got myself settled out there, I started looking around, seeing, well, can I, because, you know, it's got to be musicians around here, and, you know, see if I could get something going, and
you know,
I saw this ad.
You remind me, Craig, there's a great bassman out of New Haven, Connecticut, Doug Wimbish.
Doug Wimbish?
That's right.
Right on.
New
Is
Haven,
that something new?
Yeah, he's playing with Living Colors these days, but he was with the Sugar Hill Gang. He's playing with Mark Stewart Mafia. And, and also Kay was born there. The lady played bass in Black Flag. She's born in New Haven.
Oh.
So
awesome.
Anyway, so
it was a nice town. I lived there for about 13 years. I really dug it out there.
So you're looking around for music there, right?
Yep, I look in the local weekly in the back of the want ads, and there's this band needs a bass player for a recording. And I had been answering a couple of ads like this. I ended up auditioning for our good friend, that famous singer, Michael Bolton. I'm sorry, Michael Bolton. But when I knew him, it was Michael Bolton. Anyway, I didn't get that gig. But I call up this number, and I meet these young guys over in a couple of towns over in the city of Bridgeport. So I go over there one day, go into this working-class neighborhood down the basement of this place, and there's these big burly dudes all hanging around and these skinny little guys in amps and stuff, and they're going, yeah, man, yeah, we want to make a record, and we got this song. So they've got this song called Big Hips. So we practice that, and we're doing it, get it down, and we record it. Sounds really good. And I said, well, great, guys. What are you going to put on the other side? And they go, well, we don't know. I said, well, I got a song. Showed them Muckraker, which is a song I had written with Mirrors in 74, and we did it in Rocket. Yeah. So I showed them that real quick, and we tore it up and put it down. And years went by. I had the recording on a cassette. Those guys never did anything with it. They all went on to different bands and things. I, you know, through those guys, especially Terry, the guitar player, I started meeting people around town, and one thing led to another, and I started a band, you know, and we all sort of went our way. And it wasn't until here a couple of years ago when I put out the Darwin Lane, a.k.a. Darwin Lane album, that I culled together old recordings of the era where I wasn't putting out much music, but I was still recording stuff. Yeah. And that was one of the songs I said, man, this is a great version of this song. Man, I got to get this out. So I named it the Bridgeport Bad Boys. So that's really on me. If those guys want to call it something else, they can call it something else. But, you know, what are you going to do? That's the project that got my feet on the ground in Connecticut and got me started playing out there. And, man, I owe those guys a lot just for that.
Well, thank you, guys, Bridgeport Bad Boys. Craig, I'm going to play something here called Saucers.
I wasn't sure. I tossed the coin. It came up head. Tails was my choice. The doorbell rang. I grabbed the phone. I saw your face. I felt ashamed when you were named. I got bored. I wrote books. I got tired. I went to sleep. I was bored. I read the book. It's all so strange. It got to change. It wasn't named.
but it didn't show what was the name.
do any of this. I wouldn't even think about it. I'd just be breathing around, enjoying life, enjoying nature. Only humans are so thoughtful of themselves too much, and they worry too fucking much. And they just worry too much about who they are. And then they just have to try to get their minds off that shit. Because they hate most of it. And so now, all they try to do, at least all I try to do, is just pretend that I'm not human. Some other species. Any other species. Any other species. Or if else not any other species. Then I guess there's only one other thing to be. Which would it be? To not exist at all. In a perfect world, I'd be a non-human. Or else, I would not exist at all.
I don't think I'm gonna drown. I feel my gills are working much better now. Floating upside down enabled me to see totally, completely different samples to be broken. Your poison too, and I'm through choking on your narrative.
Things apart. strength and understanding, courage to market, reward it with something tangible. It's a strange way to get through a new city, to find someone that you love and give to a friend, to make something so beautiful you don't want to give it away, pour over it, ponder it, hold it in slow amazement, then finally part with it. That's what it takes. Yours affectionately, a finished product.
That was me, watching the people passing, push for something lasting. That was me, the great American on scene, hiding hope and hatred be. Thank you.
Saucers, Tossed a Coin, start off that chunk of music. They're Healers after that. Mindfuck Earthquake from the Healers out of Illinois. A Kind of Pigeon, Who Wants to Be a Pigeonaire. And that's Milano. They're on lockdown now. The whole country of Italy.
Yeah, I know. That's crazy.
Yeah. Jerkogram after that with Classically Handsome. Trotsky Ice Pack, first music from them in 20 years. Oxygen, The Destroyer. Neto Milik Cooperative, Sunse. I think he's living in Trieste now. Joe Brewer, Jack Brewer's cousin out of Madison. So that's Hal. Nicholas Mayer's Downrange. And finally, Saucers again. I Need Drugs. Tell me, where do Saucers fit in between Mirrors and Rocket?
Saucers was the band that I put together after I did that Bridgeport Bad Boys recording and started to meet people in Connecticut. That is the band that we got together
band.
In New Haven.
Okay.
So we did that one, and in that, some folks in there that went on to do a few things. Seth Tiven, John Tiven's brother,
is
the guitarist in Saucers. He also was in Dump Truck and is living down in Texas now.
I think John became a producer, engineer guy in Nashville or something, right?
Yeah. I think he's still down in Nashville. Yeah, and Mark Mulcahy on the drums. Mark went on to form Miracle Legion and has had a pretty nice solo career since then.
Small world, Jesus.
Yeah, it is. Well, you know, there's a lot of great players out there, man, and I've been very lucky to hook up with a lot of them. And been able to play with some great people.
There's good people playing all over the place.
There really are, man.
Really is. That's one really neat thing about the internet, and why one thing I like to try to do with this show is put out, let people hear stuff that they can't hear otherwise, maybe. So how long does Saucers last?
Saucers only lasted about 2-3 years.
Okay. Getting back to Rocket, you know, I had Frank from Smogvale on a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Put out Peter's Box, you know.
Yeah, boy, that's something else.
I want to ask you, Craig, what was it like to play in a band with Peter?
Peter was fantastic, man. Like I said, I'd known Peter. He was a fan of Mirrors, and he would be around. You know, he would come to see. When I said there'd be three people to come see us play, two of them would be Peter and his wife Charlotte.
Okay.
And Peter was a real champion of local music. He was a real champion of anybody who was trying to do something creative. He wasn't going to tell you don't do it. He was going to encourage you to take it further. You know, and working with him, playing with him,
yeah,
I mean, it was, you know, two sides of the coin. I mean, the guy's a phenomenal musician and everything, but you know, everything gets to a certain point and then it ends. And then something else starts and then it ends, and something else starts and then it ends. And that was kind of the pattern that went along with being involved with something with Peter.
Okay. Because, I mean, you have the personal experience of actually being in a band with a man. So
I lived with him.
And you lived with him? Wow.
William, I lived with him and Charlotte in the plaza for, well, better part of a year.
Okay. But maybe living's a little different. Well, maybe it's the same as being in a band.
it all sort of ran in together. It still does, really.
You know, he was the guy who liked to play a lot of covers. But then he had some great originals.
How was it with
the bass? Did he write out your parts, or did he let you?
No, never, man, never. That was one of the great things about Rocks from the Tombs, was that we all approached the song and brought what we had to every song. There was no play this. There was maybe, start at this note and go to this note and stuff like this, but no one was saying play exactly this, and this. No.
It wasn't like somebody brought a tape of a demo. Here, guys, we gotta realize this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or somebody just Final Solution.
Yeah.
I walked into the rehearsal space for practice. David was there and he's sitting at a table And he goes, and we're waiting for everybody else. And he goes, hey, I got this new song I've been writing. Let's work on it. So he starts just banging on the table. The girls don't like me because I got a misdirection. And he turns and looks at me. He goes, now do something. So I was like, all right, hey, that's pretty good. So we mess around with that, and then everybody else shows up, and we show what we did to them, and then Peter says, hey, let's stick this on here, and da-da-da thing at the end of it, and
yeah,
we got a song. That's pretty much how it worked. People had things, and they brought them in, showed them to the other folks, and then we just took it from there, and everybody brought themselves into the song.
Can I ask you something about something Tony Mamone told me?
Okay.
Steve Canyon Blues, Tom Herman.
I know Tom.
But do you know about this song, Steve Canyon Blues?
I've heard the name. I'm not familiar what the song's about.
Tony told me that tune was really important to Per Ubu. Now, I know Per Ubu comes out of the tunes. Yeah, this idea where you have the rock and roll thing and then it breaks down in the middle, sort of like 30 seconds, right?
Uh-huh.
You have the middle part going all crazy ass, and then it comes back. And that's kind of the template. And he gives credit to Tom Herman. So I was just wondering if you're familiar with that. You know, you're talking about a guy who only knows about the Cleveland stuff from what he hears. I wasn't there, you know, but I'm curious as hell because it had a huge impact on us Minutemen.
Well, for sure, yeah. With Ubu, the way things went down with that was when Rocket broke up and everybody sort of spread out from each other and I guess, I don't know what you would call, went around feeling sorry for ourselves. When Ubu came together, you know, that was another different thing. And, you know, and people who weren't in Ubu, they had gone off somewhere else. Cheetah and Blitz went off and started doing Dead Boys stuff. And,
right, yeah,
you know, I started working with Brian McMahon's brother, Kevin, and, doing that stuff. And at the same time, just thinking, I got to get out of here. You know, there's nothing happening here.
Sure, sure.
You know, so I ended up, you know, getting my sights on getting out of Cleveland. And then Ubu, you know, I went and saw them, of course, when they played a few times before I left, and I was aware when they put the singles out and stuff like that. But I don't know what was going on, you know, within the band.
Okay.
You know, how all that was going down and who was doing what.
Well, for one thing, you know, I know Tony wasn't playing, but he said that Tim and Tom would switch off. He said no one wanted to rock the bass, so, like, someone got the garbage to
it. Yeah.
You know? Look, right at the end of the second hour. March 12, 2020. Special guest Craig Bell. Walk Pedro Show. Hold tight. Hour 3.
See, you got nothing to say about that, right? See?
March 12, 2020. It's the third hour of Walk from Pedro Show.
Again. eye to see what I see. Millions of red square backs descending on me. They come to your home. They come to your town. They are invading. They're hunting you down. They'll take you down. They'll take you down. Gather all your children. Run for your hills. Grab by your waist. Run for your life. Square back attack. Square back attack. Square back attack. Square back attack. Sky to see what I see. Millions of red square backs descending on me. They come to your church. They come to your streets. They are invading. They're hunting you down. They'll take you down. Take you down. Lock your doors and grab your bats. They're coming for you, they want to attack. Square back attack. Square back attack. Square back attack.
American dream. How we gonna feed our dream machine? They're cutting off the supply of gasoline. Fill her up, gasoline. Everybody everywhere, gasoline. Brothers and sisters, gasoline. I wanna buy some gasoline. I really like to wait in line. Please tell me why it feels so fine. I don't care, it's only time. Soon I'm going to go out of my mind. Fill her up, gasoline. Everybody everywhere, gasoline. Brothers and sisters, gasoline. I want to buy some gasoline. Our cars, we'd like to drive around in flashy cars. Without them, we wouldn't get too far. Without them, we wouldn't have any cars. Fill her up, gasoline. Everybody, everywhere, gasoline. Brothers and sisters, gasoline. I wanna buy some gasoline.
She's a peak of perfection. Yeah, she's the queen of it all. The sun and the moon, they're at her beck and call. She's a girl herself, and she's up for the fool. You can try to convince her, but she's so.
Yes, my chance to live.
Walk for Pedro show start off the third hour with Rocket from the Tombs doing Read It and Weep. My baby thinks I'm perfect, Ragnar Kvaran. Now, this is the bass player in this band. I just got this from Kathy Ashton, Ronnie and Scotty's sister. She played bass in this band. She told me from the middle 80s to the late 90s, a guy named Ragnar. And, yeah, they made some recordings.
Ragnar.
You know, yeah, kind of Viking, huh?
And yeah.
San Arno.
It just sounds familiar, though. Was that up in Detroit?
Ann Arbor, right?
Ah, okay.
College town. Yeah, it's near.
Yeah, it is.
Maybe 40 miles or something. And San Arno with Squareback Attack. Somebody just handed this to me at a gig last week. Chinese Herbal Medicine after that. Venus Redux. Zobrodome. Great Whites and Manatees. The Cake Holes. That's from some guys from the Hill here. With Gasoline. And finally, The Downfy with My Chatelaine.
My Chatelaine.
Yeah. Now, what's The Downfy about?
Downfy was, when I moved out here, I left Connecticut in 1989 and moved out to Indianapolis, Indiana, where I live now. And I've been here 31 years, I guess, now. And I lay low for a little while till about the mid-90s and then started getting the fever a little bit again and started playing more. But after Rock from the Tombs reuned in the early 2000s and we started playing, I thought, wow, maybe it's time for me to start, you know, getting my thing back together. And I met a few guys around here in town and started playing. We did about, 8 years, did a couple of CDs, a couple of singles and stuff like that. And since then, I've moved on and pretty much just working under my own name now.
Who was in
The Downfy was my Indianapolis band of the aughts.
So kind of the Indianapolis version of the Bridgeport Bad Boys.
Yeah, or the Bell System or Saucers or that's I'm always chasing that sound I hear in my head.
Okay, the Bell System. I want to play that now. What's the story on that? America Now. Is this when you start using your own name?
This was in the late 80s in Connecticut, and we started using that name, kind of hoping we'd get sued, but the problem was, that's right when they broke up the monopoly and nobody cared. So we had a great name, that was a great band, but we did a lot of recording, but we didn't put out many records. We were on a CMJ comp. One of those Scream albums that CMJ did back in the 80s, and that was pretty much the only official release of that band. So the other recordings, America Now and that stuff, popped up on the AKA Garland Lane album here a few years ago.
Okay, let's listen.
Again and again. You can try to convince her, but she's only you.
Last music for this edition, people. American Apple, the Bell System. Mold Omen out of Baltimore after that with Spy Lamb. Rhythm 55, Riga Frisky Mossfoot Briskly from Andre Vita. He's in Berlin these days. Groove Creator Method, Brother Phil up in Big Bear. Reverse in Time, one head edit. And finally, Love Power, Craig Bell under his own name.
That's one of my newest recordings there.
Yeah.
Made this album called The Room in My Head, which I'm working on getting put out hopefully this year.
And where did you record it? At your pad?
There's a studio here in Indianapolis called Postal Recording, run by some friends of mine, and I did the work over there.
Okay. The first tune I played out of my mind, is that from the same stuff?
That's from the same stuff. Okay. That's the first song and the last song on the album.
And you're talking about within the last year, right? This is recent stuff?
Yeah, I just finished, we mastered last month, and I started in June and finished up in January.
That's fucking great, man. I love it.
It's been a lot of fun, man. It's been a lot of changes, a lot of turnarounds during that, but wow, it's been a blast.
Yeah, where can people find you on the internet, Craig?
I've got a website at craigwbell.com.
Okay, CRAIGWBELL.com, people. Go there and check it out. What's your next plan? Your next plan is this mirror stuff, right? No, X Blank X.
Well, X Blank X has some shows. Got a show in Columbus next Friday night, the 20th, and then the 21st in Cincinnati.
Okay.
After that, I got my band here in town now that I'm playing around with. It's called the Rhythm Methodists. And we've got a show here in April, and we got a couple of shows in Ohio in May. And then I go off on tour with my buddies from Canada, Simply Saucer. And we're doing 3 weeks. We're going out west and doing the West Coast and down in Texas, doing some shows around there.
Let me know when you're in SoCal so I can come see.
We will be there on the 10th and 11th. We're hanging out in L.A., man.
10th and 11th of April?
Of June.
June, okay. I might be here.
You may, for something but I'll see you. But I'll see you here before that.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't want to put a damper in the pamper, but I think the fucking scissors are coming down on that tour. Craig, it's been a huge honor, our bass brother Craig, for being on the show.
It's been an honor. It's been an honor to talk with you, Mike. I have a blast, man. It's really great to hang out with you.
And absolutely, and your journey is amazing. But when you come up with some new music, will you come back on the show and we'll talk about it?
I'll come back anytime you want, my friend. We can talk about all sorts of stuff.
Okay, that's beautiful. People, March 12th, 2020 edition, Wafa Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.